Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
97.5.
Yeah, well, I hear you, but if it's that intense, I'll need a solid buzz to think clear.
KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, our number two starts right now.
It's The Usual Suspects, wow. ESPN 97.5.
It's only been an hour.
Sorry.
Okay. That was probably warranted. It's only been an hour. I feel like we're not 3 hours in already.
I don't feel like the show's necessarily going slow, but yeah, it is. It's only been an hour. One third of the show is over.
Well, you're an analytics guy now?
Always.
You're turning on numbers?
Yeah, don't even.
Barry
don't
was
even
the numbers
play.
Guy. You just already tried to take away one of his roles because he's sick?
Well, he's more concerned about coffee and tea and honey right now because he's got to get better.
Got to get this throat coat.
Well, you sure do like that. You got people on Twitter trying to get Nick to isolate.
I know.
Quotes and
settle
things
down,
and,
Sean.
Jeez,
Barry, what's wrong with your voice? I just tuned in. I'm sick. Well, I was sick.
That should have been your first guess, but yeah.
Barry was out in a construction site. He swallowed a pound of gravel last night. It didn't go well. That's what happened.
Going through puberty, right? My balls are going to drop in the third hour. Stay tuned.
We'll live stream that for you.
Yeah. We're going to watch them slowly descend.
From one tea bag to another, we're going to be covering it before 4 o'clock. He's got the tea in hand right now in hot water.
Donna said, hey, Barry, say go Tigers. You kind of sound like Coach O.
You kind of do.
Go Tigers.
That's pretty good.
Thank you.
You know what's funny? I heard Dabo. I was in the car at halftime of the Rose Bowl. And I turned on the radio coverage on 97.5. And they had a interview with Dabo Swinney at halftime.
Uh-huh.
And I'm trying to figure out at first who he's talking, who they're talking to. And he's kind of Jimbo-esque. He's fast talking, little twang to him. And at the end, he went, go Tigers. And I was like, oh, wow. I didn't think about it. But now in the national championship game, you got
Tigers.
Go Tigers versus go Tigers.
Yeah.
Tigers and Tigers.
Tigers and Tigers.
Bleacher Report put out a little bit of a tidbit on Eli Manning just now that's interesting.
Love tidbits.
The Giants quarterback had a quote-unquote beer guy in every road stadium with his only responsibility to get Eli a 6 or 12-pack of beer so he could have beers with the boys, the veteran teammates, on the bus on the way back to the plane.
Now, my first thought is, man, he's got a problem.
No, man. Seriously, it's actually so much better now than it was when I was growing. Remember,
you don't think that's a drinking problem?
6 to 12 beers among him and veterans? No.
Yeah, no, I would
knock that out easily.
The offensive lineman, I mean, have you seen these guys chug beers? I mean, they do it like it's a shot.
I'm just saying, so is this just a camaraderie thing?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think that, back in the day, and Mikhail would even tell you
this. They're not having one beer apiece.
Well, I mean, the number is probably questionable because we don't know, but that's we're going based off the report, and he's saying a 6-pack or a 12-pack.
6-pack.
For him and the veterans. So that means what? 2 beers for each person?
Depending on how many veterans you got in linemen and who's all partaking.
Yeah.
But, look.
Some of those guys may not drink.
I'll take it back to when I was a ball boy in Milwaukee growing up. One of my responsibilities was I handled all the beer there was a VIP room
illegal.
For the family and stuff. So I would set up the kegs and do that. And then when I was visiting team locker room manager, then my next duty would be to we had a stock room with all the different kinds of beer, Miller, Prada, all the other beer. And in the visiting locker room after games, they had access to probably 4 or 5 24-packs in coolers. And that was part of the deal. Now, I don't know if that's still the deal, but I know for a lot of years, and I can tell you the story I told you during the break, why I know this is.
That's great.
At Toyota Center, they used to still do that. So the visiting team after the game, you could have some beer. Because Mikhail would talk about the Celtics that, you know, he and Larry Bird, after a tough game, would sit there for sometimes 3 hours after games, and everybody's like, why? And he's like, because we got a cooler full of cold beer and don't have to go anywhere outside. Yeah. So they hung out. But I know in Toyota Center that they still used to have the cooler after the game full of beer.
Where exactly is this cooler?
It's in the visiting team locker room. You should probably look for it.
Nick's trying to get you on the left side
or in the cooler?
So,
like,
two different things. One, now they have those glass-fronted coolers.
I've seen those.
So a lot of times they would shuffle it from the cooler itself into that refrigerator cooler. Or look where they do – there's like a table where they do all the tickets. Underneath there is normally where the cooler is full of beer.
And who exactly would be watching to make sure no one...
The visiting team locker room manager.
So who's that guy? His name is
Gage Mueller.
So how do I dodge Gage?
It'd be a good race between you two. He's skinny, and he's about 40.
Listen, anytime Nick's involved...
You're trying to say he's faster than me?
Anytime Nick's involved, it's not a good race. If it's a foot race, it's going to be
awful. Here's the thing. Tony leads the league in ball adults. The Rockets have more guys that are, like, literally are on their third or fourth child that are still working in the locker room and on the court.
Well, you think they could take the Astros ball boys? Because they're some big dudes.
Well, I do.
Massive.
Because they're cagey and smarter as they get older and more mature. Because those Astros ball kids, they got some girth to them, but they're only in their teens.
They're beefy, though.
That one kid.
Once they take you down, that's it. It's game over.
Yeah. I thought the one kid that always gets caught in the shot behind A.J. Hinch looks like Lance Berkman as a chunky child. He's always right behind him, and he looks. Is that a player? And like, wait, that's that ball kid again.
Yeah.
Well, the ball adults are with the Rockets, so you've got to dodge them. But true story, it's legendary that, in a running joke amongst all of us, Don Nelson, whether he was with the Mavs or with the Warriors, at least once a year would get tossed for one of the two games at Toyota Center because he wanted to sit in the locker room in the second half and just drink beer and watch the game.
That is awesome.
And there's plenty of people that'll verify it. And a lot of times the running joke was he'd walk in for the first game of the year and the security guys would be like, is it this one or the next one? And he'd kind of chuckle. But sure enough, one of those two games, he would get tossed and he'd be tipping them back in the locker room in the second half.
Don Nelson is a character.
Yeah, he is.
He's a character. I actually like the story.
And he's smoking weed now somewhere?
Big time.
Yeah.
And he admits it. It's all good.
Oh, admits it up front. They did some like Hall of Fame press conference. And he's like, you know, I live in Maui now or somewhere in Hawaii. And he goes, and you know the weed is good.
Oh, that's fantastic.
He goes, I really love life.
The best story or one of the first stories I've ever heard about Don Nelson outside of basketball was the story told by Van Gundy on, I believe it was Pendergast show back in the day. And he was talking about how Don Nelson was training players to flop, like helping them practice flop. And Don was like, You got to put more back to it or more jerk to it and stuff like that. And I can't believe he was going through the process of like trying to show how these players how to flop, you know? It was unbelievable. That was probably one of the funniest stories I've ever heard outside this news story. I didn't know
that is pretty funny.
So he participated
They had
in
like
that.
A flopping coach.
Yeah.
So he was legend in
Milwaukee.
Don
Nelson was the flopping coach.
Right.
Like, we're bringing in Fosbury. Do y'all know who that is?
Yeah, the Fosbury flop.
Yeah.
He did the high jump.
Yeah, we're going to bring him in as a coach.
So he was he's a legendary figure in
Fosbury
Milwaukee.
Was. Look at you.
Because Don Nelson, when he coached the Bucks, when they were green and growing and they were in the Eastern Conference and they were fighting with the Celtics and the Sixers as the small market team, he was the first coach to wear tennis shoes on the sideline before it was cool.
Really?
And they told him he couldn't do it. He had a sponsorship deal with Converse. So he had to put athletic tape on the black shoes over the logo.
What?
Yeah. Then he got a deal with fish ties. So he had all of his ties looked like fish. Like trout and other fish.
Yeah.
And he was the most popular guy because everybody talked about the fish ties, the tape on the shoes, and then the Bucks were really good too.
Right.
So he was a legend in Milwaukee for years because of that kind of stuff. And that's where he got started. But one of the other things he did, two things. One, he created the point forward. So Paul Pressey was the first 6'9" guy to play point guard because he wanted the mismatch. Just like when they said how Rudy created the inverted offense and the inside out.
Point four.
And then the other thing that he created was the goon in basketball. He had a guy by the name of Paul Mokeski that he kept on his roster every year. And Big Mo was a great dude, too. But Big Mo's only job was to get in a fight with the best big man on the other team. And Barkley fell for it every time. And I remember that I think it was during the playoffs one year. I was going from the court to the locker room before the end of the first half, and Nelly sent Molkeski in the game, and I got caught in between some flying haymakers where Barkley didn't let it go. And when he thought no one was looking, because this was before all the cameras were all over,
yeah,
they threw both Barkley and Molkeski out of the game. And Barkley went down the wrong tunnel and started throwing haymakers trying to hit Molkeski. And I was ducking out of the way with a stack full of towels. And I was like,
great.
And it turns out that Nelly would never totally admit it, but he had a guy on his roster just to get in fights with the best player on the other team.
As good a friend you are with Charles, at some point did that come up?
I don't know if I've ever brought it up to him. I think maybe a couple times we were just sitting around. I was like, I remember when Molkeski goes, white boy, what'd you say? And I'm like, Paul Molkeski goes, man, that dude. And he wouldn't get into like the, I was like, and I told, you know, there was a couple times where I told him, I was like, look, I was in the visiting team locker room, and I knew that as much as you said you weren't biting, you bit hard
every time
he came in and got under your skin. Yeah, so that was, Nelly had a lot of innovative things. Some of them were just a little different than others.
That's crazy.
But he got his Villa beer in Toyota Center.
Yeah.
That I can tell you.
Somebody texted and said, one of y'all sounds like a 75-year-old drag queen. Hey, baby. Yeah, how do you not know who's who?
I mean, even when your voice is normal, they still get confused who's Joel, who's Barry sometimes.
I don't feel like we sound like it at
all. You don't.
When I first started listening to The Blitz, I felt like Fred and AJ sound similar. And I couldn't tell them apart at first, only because I knew AJ. But I don't feel like Joel and I have a similar voice at all.
I don't think they sound alike either.
No, I never thought.
At first, I thought they did a little bit, but I knew AJ, so I could tell the difference.
Okay.
But... yeah, I feel like
that just happens when there's no visual, no video. When it's just audio, it's all linear to the person. They're not necessarily paying attention to who's talking. It's just like...
Demetrius called me Lou Rawls.
You'll never find...
Dude, I watched a couple of shows on Netflix. One on Sam Cooke and one on Quincy Jones. Highly recommended if you're into like soul music.
Quincy Jones was a legend, producer.
Boy.
All of that. Quincy worked with Michael Jackson. Stuff. And yeah, he worked with everybody.
The Sanford and Son theme.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
I didn't know
He did a ton of TV and movie scores. And obviously all of the music production. He was Frank Sinatra's band leader, which I didn't know. But
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, he would, like Frank actually called him out of nowhere. He was kind of just going through the motions and Sinatra called him. He was like, hey, I want you to come lead my band and arrange the music for me and score these songs. And he did all that. And that really helped him. So it's really good. If you're into soul music, highly recommend both of those.
If you're in the market for a new roof, I got someone that you need to talk to. The people at Fitz Roofing, because obviously the weather's been a little rainy lately and maybe you figured out you had a leaky roof or you've been thinking about putting a new roof on your house. Well, there's only one company to call and it's Fitz Roofing. Simply put, FITZRoofing.com is going to do all the dirty work for you. They're going to have great customer service. They're going to use the best products in the business and they're going to see the job through from start to finish. It's exactly what you want when you want anything done to your roof. Check them out, FITZRoofing.com, or better yet, call them, 832-521-3001. You get a free no obligation inspection. You just call them and tell them where you live. They come to see you and tell you what they can do, and then they go back to doing their rest of their deal. If you want them, you call them back and they do fantastic work. They got the ratings to prove it. A+ rating on the Better Business Bureau, 5-star ratings on Facebook and Home Advisor. They are the locally owned and operated company that you need when you need anything done with your roof, and they use the best product in the business, CertainTeed Shingles. Only 1% of the roofers in the United States meet the criteria to get the status of a CertainTeed Select Shingle Master Company. They got it. You need it. You go to Fitz. Their base warranties, longer and better than your average roofer, and I could go on. But better than me doing that, go out and check them out for yourself. FitzRoofing.com or 832-521-3001. Fitz Roofing, making a difference one home at a time.
G'day, Sam Windsor from the Houston Sabercats here. Rugby's simple. Make tackles, hit rucks, score tries. Almost as simple as using the app. Stream ESPN 97.5 from anywhere, even down under.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Well, I'll be AJ Hinch for a short period of time, and my starters had a lot of pitches, and I'm going to the pen. I'm going to get my Will Harris, the guy I trust, the guy I believe in. Fred Fowler now joins the show as Mr. Laminack. Was excused after a good effort. He got a quality start. At least he's eligible for the win.
He got a start.
He's eligible for the win. So Fred's going to take it from here. Barry's going to get some rest and get through the weekend and hopefully get his voice back and get to feeling 100%. But we haven't worked together in a while.
No, it's been a while, man. So happy to fill in here, and hopefully my voice will hold up a little better.
Yeah,
I think it will.
Plus, I get to work with Nick.
Yeah.
Yeah, we usually get to work together in Vegas.
Yeah,
it's so good.
Yeah.
From time to time, I produce the Blitz, but it's always good to have Trader. Fred on.
Yeah. Trader, did you do that? Yeah, that's really nice. Team player. I always love that. Oh, yeah, which team? You're playing for the other team sometimes. That's another story. So we haven't talked a lot of football yet, Fred. And the first thing that I really want to talk about is I'm sick of hearing about people talk about the Cowboys. I mean, first of all, the fact that Jerry Jones has to take, what, 3-4 days before the announcement is final, and how many meetings with Jason Garrett before they finally realize the inevitable we knew was coming all along?
Here's the problem. It's the Cowboys, and they're the brand, just like the Yankees are the brand, just like the Lakers are the brand, and everybody's going to talk about it. It's going to be a national story until he makes up his mind. Now it's going to be a national story. Everybody that they talk to, that's just the reality of it, and yeah, instead of talking about playoffs and talking about your beloved Packers and what's going to happen to them in a couple weeks when they lose, we're talking about the Cowboys getting a new coach.
And I'm not going to staunchly defend them at this point.
Well, it depends on who they wind up playing. I think if it winds up being the Eagles, they're winning that game. I'm not too worried about that. But
I think the biggest advantage they have is the fact that they got the 2 seed and they're going to make everybody go through Lambeau and not name the Niners is a huge advantage for them if the weather cooperates.
Yeah, I you know, all kidding aside, I think things have lined up really well for them to get to the championship game.
Mm-hmm.
All bets may be off after that.
No, so. And I said all along, too, they're the worst 3-loss team in the NFL. But if everything lines up, like you said, with home field advantage until you get to the NFC Championship game, and they all got to play in cold weather, and a lot of the teams in the playoffs, not named the Eagles, don't play in cold weather, advantage Packers, and Rodgers hasn't been great all year. So I've been very honest in the fact that I didn't think that they were good enough, but it could be where they go make a little run here.
They're only the worst 13-3 team because the Patriots lost in week 17 to the Dolphins.
True.
I still think they've managed to build that record with some goofy wins. But you know what? Look back on the season, everybody does that. They've also had some really good wins, and then they've had some turd games. They're a better Texans is what they are. And I think the NFC is just the most interesting playoff bracket that we've seen in a while because you do have a 13-3 team that doesn't have the first weekend off. I mean, that's pretty amazing. But getting back to the Cowboys, I mean, Jerry knows what he's doing. I mean, the Cowboys are the WWE. I mean, they're entertainment. And what they do on the field doesn't really matter.
But it does, because you made the analogy with the Lakers and a lot of the
Throw the Knicks in there too. The Knicks Yankees are part of that conversation.
Well, see, and then you change it because I was going to say with the narrative of just the Yankees and the Lakers, the common denominator the Cowboys don't have is those two franchises have won something in the last couple decades. The Cowboys haven't, and yet it's still got to be the lead story on ESPN morning, noon, and night. And Jerry's got to be front and center with every press conference. And the best thing that they could do, in my opinion, is they could, one, get a veteran coach that can stabilize everything but kind of push Jerry a little bit. And then the big thing to me is, do you keep him as general manager? Because he's constantly just – the oversell of Jerry Jones annoys the hell out of me.
Well, the thing is, Jerry doesn't – I'm not sure Jerry is really doing that much anymore. I think Stephen Jones is making all the draft picks. Jerry's just the face.
You think he made the Amari Cooper trade?
I think he did. I think Stephen Jones is the one doing all that stuff now that when it comes down to the draft. Remember, Jerry wanted to draft Johnny Manziel.
True.
And I think Stephen Jones is really involved with what they're doing. He's just quiet about it. Jerry's the face. And Jerry loves being the face of the franchise. But everybody's like, oh, well, Jerry Jones sucks. He needs to. I don't know that he's doing that much other than just being vocal. And that's, and as far as, you know, the interest, you know, that's how you get ratings. I mean, that's what people care about. They care about the Cowboys or they want to hate the Cowboys. It's that simple. They are that one franchise. There's a reason that a Cowboys-Patriots game that was awful to watch had the highest ratings of the year. It's because it's the Cowboys and the Patriots.
I don't know if you heard this or not, but I brought it up. I found it. The VP of Fox, of the 100 top-rated TV shows in America for 2019, 93 were sports.
Doesn't shock me.
93 out of 100. And I said to Barry, every Sunday night football game was number one for that week in the ratings for television. All of television, not just sports, all of television. So that tells you, just how big it is when, and again, they get the right matchups for the over-the-air game. But football is obviously huge, and Jerry Jones plays a big part of that with the Cowboys, whether they have won anything or not. But now my question to you is, who's the best fit there to replace Jason Garrett?
Well, that's going to be the big question. Are they going to bring in someone who is going to have the power to do what he needs to do to make the team work? And or are they going to bring in another puppet and right. a more effective puppet? Because that's the real issue. Now, I've heard the Lincoln Rileys and Matt Rule. I like Matt Rule as a coach. I think he'll be a very good NFL coach. And I would like to see them try something like that. But if it's, and one of the reasons Matt Rule didn't want to coach last year is when he went to interview, it's like, well, we're going to tell you what assistants to hire.
It's the Daryl Morey approach.
Yeah. And that's, you know, if I'm a coach, no, I want to hire my own assistants. But I also need to be in a position where if I hire assistants that are just my friends, Bill O'Brien, somebody's standing over my shoulder saying, wait a minute. Like, I love what Ron Rivera did. The first thing he did was go hire Jack Del Rio as a defensive coordinator. Yes,
absolutely.
And that's a guy who, whatever you think of him as a head coach, terrific defensive coordinator.
Yep.
And to me, I've always said this. If I were a head coach, the first thing I'm going to do is go hire. They don't have to run my system. They don't have to be my buddies, but I want guys who were maybe not successful head coaches, but were fantastic coordinators before they got the job with experience as a head coach that I can bounce stuff off of.
And it's a Wade Phillips approach, too, because sometimes the best coordinators aren't meant to be head coaches, but in doing what they were made to do and be a coordinator, they're one of the best that ever did it, and Wade Phillips is one of those guys. Didn't have great success as a head coach, but boy, oh boy, you give him a defense, and look what he did with the Rams, this year as much as last year, but, you know, and he was that guy like you're talking about for a Sean McVay.
Yeah, and that's... that's why they were successful last year. Of course, Wade Phillips, you look at his first year versus second year.
Yeah.
There's always that. But that's what I would do. And I think, you know, it doesn't mean it would be successful, but that would be my approach. And I think that's what it's going to come down to, whoever they hire. If they hire Urban Meyer, for instance, which, you know, I don't think is going to happen. But if Urban goes out and gets a Jack Del Rio equivalent as his defensive coordinator, guys with NFL experience, and runs it from on high as a CEO, he still makes the decisions. But it's good to have guys like that. The one good thing that O'Brien did was hire Romeo Crennel as his defensive coordinator and let Romeo run the defense. Yep. And
well, there's another guy. Wasn't a great head coach.
No.
But as a coordinator,
he's one of the best.
On top of his game.
Yeah. So, you know, I think it depends on who, what kind of power that person has. They had a pretty decent coaching staff, especially on defense. They didn't get results out of that group. So right. I think it was time for a change of voice. You know, Jason Garrett is basically Bill O'Brien with red hair, and they just weren't going to go any further. And they shouldn't have dragged it out all week. I'm sure they had this decision made weeks ago.
Absolutely.
But Jerry likes doing that.
Jerry said all year, it's Super Bowl or bust. If they don't make a long playoff run, then it's time for a change. And yet they still dragged it out for the entire week.
But you know what? And you've fired people before.
Yeah.
The hard thing when you have to fire somebody is you have to admit you made a mistake when you hired him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a hard thing to do because you saw something in him that made you hire him, and you made that decision, and then at some point you realize, okay, this was a bad decision on my part. And that's a hard thing for especially a guy like Jerry to admit.
Sure.
That I made a bad decision and I have to get rid of him.
Look at how long Rick Smith survived because he was like family with the McNairs.
Well, and that's why you can't. You can't be that way. If you're going to own a franchise and people don't like this, you got to be a little bit of an a-hole.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I've said this before. My last few years where I was doing all the hiring and firing when I was at the newspaper, I was a jerk. But that's what the job called for. Mm-hmm. Didn't like being a jerk. But, you know, somebody has to be there to say, this isn't working. Doesn't matter if it was my mistake or somebody else's hire. This person has to go. We got to try something different.
There you go.
And that's not easy to do.
It's not easy to be the bad guy sometimes, but in every situation, there's always a bad guy behind the scenes that has to do the dirty work. So that's what you're doing right now. You're doing the dirty work, filling in for Barry Laminate.
Well, if I wind up getting a flu over here, there will be repercussions.
Don't make love to that microphone.
I've got my own cover on it.
Okay.
Aaron was kind enough
to come
and disinfect the entire area, which I told him I would. Not, I would be happy to come in and fill in as long as he did that.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, I get a flu shot every year. I never get the flu, so
I got one this year. But I've never. Every time I got a flu shot, I got sicker than a dog. And obviously, I know you're supposed to get the virus and then get over it.
I don't get sick. I get like right after it. I don't feel well for a couple of days, but I'm not really sick.
Right.
But then I never get the flu after that.
Well,
I sometimes get the, you know, the Michael Jordan flu, but that's self-inflicted.
Exactly right. It's an FBI Friday on the usual suspects, and as Steelers fan Juan pointed out, that's for Fred. So you've got 90 minutes to go on the show. Second half coming up next. Fred, myself, and Nick, usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, 90 in the books, 90 still to go. Here comes the second half of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It is Nick, it is myself. And Barry is on the road to recovery, and literally on the road to try and get some rest and
probably the best move. He was struggling.
Yeah, not AJ Hinch, but AJ Hoffman came in and took the ball from him during a break and went to the pen and brought in flame throwing Fred Fowler.
Yeah, I hope Barry gets well pretty soon. He's back Monday and 100%. It's like nope. I mean, I think everybody in this room wants to work, no matter how bad they feel.
Sure.
Yep.
But one thing that I finally learned in this business is if you can't talk, you can't work. And if your voice is messed up, it sounds awful. I mean, I feel like my voice sounds awful enough as it is. I don't need it to be worse. And it's hard, and it's hard to focus, and you just need to get well, man, and don't get everybody else sick around you.
Nick and I doing the show yesterday talked about, I mentioned Dominique Foxworth the last couple of days on ESPN on their morning TV shows, walking around with a coffee cup full of tea and lemon. And if he had anything more than a one-sentence take, you just wanted to turn the channel because it was like fingernails on a chalkboard. The voice is petering out, and it's back and forth, and it's in and out. And it's just one of those things. I can remember listening to some of the AM stations before I got over here, and any time that there were several guys that will remain nameless, but that had the massive frog in the throat almost every segment, and I just kept going, just hit the cough button and use a Kleenex, do something, cough it up. But it's impossible to listen to sometimes.
Yeah, it is, and you have to think about the listeners. You want to do the best thing for the listeners because that's the best thing for the show and the station.
Yeah,
and it's hard because I don't blame anybody for wanting to work, no matter how bad you feel. You're talking to a guy who had his appendix taken out and then went to work at the Chronicle the next night, and I couldn't even focus because I was on so many drugs, but I didn't want to miss a day of work. And
no, I'm with you.
You know that. But there's a difference. You could take my appendix out, and I can still talk.
Yeah.
Now, I might be loopy. It might be all over the
place. Medication, but you can still talk.
I might be...
Still right?
But the listeners have enjoyed that from time to time when it wasn't due to an appendix.
Yeah, well, you know, we have fun.
When you're on location, sometimes these things happen.
But happy to jump in, though, because... And by the way, Happy New Year, boys.
Yes, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you as well.
Yeah. This is going to be the best one yet for you guys. It's my prediction.
I hope so.
But I actually had some sports map stuff to get done, so I was just sitting around the office, and turned out I got it done very fast, so... And nothing else going on. I'm happy to step in.
Nice. We did a video today, too, so we're back on the video schedule with a video talking about the Astros and the losing Garrett Cole and Will Harris, but also the benefit of having a system that developed those type players. So you can check that out probably later today.
Yeah, I heard you guys talking about Harris as I was driving over from the gym. Mm-hmm. And, the thing about it is, for that money, I get that they don't want to spend it. And they found Will Harris. They'll find another Will Harris. They're really good at that. Finding guys that you don't think much of, they bring them in and turn them into good pitchers. So it's a loss, but it's not one that they can't overcome. Now, the whole Garrett Cole thing, you're not going to be as good without Garrett Cole, especially when you've given him to the Yankees, basically. So that's different.
It hurts short term, but when you look at the length of that deal and giving a starting pitcher that's a power pitcher – a 9-year deal. If you're going that far in and you look at the history of arm problems in this league for power pitchers, and you look at a Jabba Chamberlain or a Strasburg who just got paid, but guess what? Both those guys were on innings restrictions and they tried to baby the hell out of them. And guess what? Both of them had Tommy John surgery.
Now, and the other thing, too, remember, they went out and traded for Gerrit Cole before and turned him into this monster. Mm-hmm. They're capable of doing that. I think the questions, the thing you worry about now is, do they have enough left in the farm system to go out and trade for a guy? And, you know, if they're going to really start cutting payroll, when does that hit bone? Because I don't think it's hit bone yet. I don't think you ever expected Gerrit Cole to come back.
Well, but that's the thing, too, because you obviously have watched my video before it goes to Sports Map, because a lot of what you just said I covered in there. But the thing I said is, one, you look for who they're going to pick to be the next Gerrit Cole. Maybe not statistically achieving all those things, but the power arm that fits the mold. The next Will Harris, because they got him off the waiver wire from Arizona, and then how they develop him. But the thing that's a little bit troubling, if you look at the quotes that Will Harris gave to Mark Berman, he wanted 3 years. The Astros weren't willing to do that. You gave Joe Smith $4 million a year, so he wanted $8 million, and he said that they were out of the process. The Astros were out of the process early on, he made inroads to say they weren't going to be able to afford that kind of a deal. That concerns me, because now all of the financial troubles we thought were coming down the pike when you face the contracts that you have to pay for Correa and Springer in a couple of years, now you look at it and go, well, then what do they have to get pay anybody right now?
Well, you hope they're factoring that into it. And, I mean, do you sign a guy $8 million for 3 years, which doesn't sound like a ton of money. But if you've got that on your books in 2 years, then, you know, maybe that's $8 million more you can pay Springer or you can pay Correa. And, again, I trust them to be able to find guys like that. And yes, he was great up until Game 7, which I don't necessarily blame him for. I think A.J. Hinch did a really bad job managing his staff. But, you know, that's... I mean, sorry to see him go, but at some point you just can't pay everybody. And I don't blame them for not being the Yankees and just overpaying when you can go find another Will Harris.
And the other thing you mentioned with Will Harris, though, is he made a good pitch on that pitch to Kendrick. Kendrick just put the bat on the ball in the right spot, and he got the foul pull. I mean, that's inches away from being a foul ball, play on. Astros probably still in a position to be in command. But you know what? He made a good pitch. Kendrick put a good swing on it. And it hit the foul pole, and, you know, you take your lumps and you move on.
Yeah, I think that he never should have been in that situation, frankly. He never should have taken Greinke out. There's just so many things that were wrong about that. But yeah, and what's sad is they're never going to be as good as they were last year. Let's not
– Nope.
You know, there's no way to – they're going to be good. They may be good enough to win a World Series, but they're not going to be that team again.
But all the people pressing the panic button need to – also remember this, and for a lot of the names that you brought up, the one that keeps resonating in my mind is Charlie Morton. Because when the Astros made the move to bring in Charlie Morton, everybody, including people on this station and myself included, were like, who's Charlie Morton? Why do they need Charlie Morton? And what's he going to do? And he left being Charlie effing Morton, a legend in Astros lore, because of what he was able to do, not only while he was here, but particularly in the World Series run.
Yeah, and also I just... say Wade Miley was pretty damn good for most of the season last year. That was a good pickup. And once he fell apart, maybe overused him. I don't know what happened to where he just totally couldn't pitch anymore. But for three quarters of the season, that guy was he was one of the top five in ERA most of the year.
You did watch my video.
I have not watched your video yet.
I dropped Miley as well. And then the other names that I also mentioned within the process was Colin McHugh, who was just someone that was a retread that people were giving up on with the Mets, Twins kind of thing. They were done with him. They didn't think he had anything left in the tank. And the one that I think that Astros fans need to keep an eye on is Jose Urquidy. Because Urquidy was on the scrap heap with the Mets. The Astros took a flyer and brought him in. He's already had Tommy John surgery, but from what he did in the playoffs and what he could do if he gets some seasoning as a starter, he could be a guy that people really learn to love, just like they learned some of these guys we're talking about.
No, I didn't watch your video yet. That's one of the things I was going to do, and then you pulled me out of the bullpen.
I'm just saying, so. I'm kidding, but look, I love it because you're bringing up the same things that I brought up in the video, so that's good stuff. And I mean, you saw what I saw in Urquidy. I mean, unlike a Framber Valdez, he had control. No moment was too big for him, and he kept your team in the game.
Well, and as much as you'd like everything to work out, like you'd love for McCullers to come back and be Lance McCullers, and you'd love for Urquidy to be a rotation starter, middle rotation starter, and have a Wade Miley type year. And you'd love for Forrest Whitley to finally prove that he's not just a total bust. And if all that happened, then you know what? You got a really good starting staff again. The odds of that are pretty low, though. I mean, if you can get one of those,
yeah,
I think you're happy.
Well, and Luno made the... the comment, I guess, to Berman last night, and he said, we're looking for our starting pitcher, and that's what our number one focus is. And if we lose out on guys that we're looking for, then we may focus more on the bullpen again. But it gives you a little bit more of a clear kind of understanding of where the Astros are financially and what their goals are in terms of who they're targeting going forward with the rest of free agency.
Yeah, I mean, they're obviously not going to spend Yankee money, and I don't blame them for that. And what I've always said is, where did Luno come from? The Cardinals. Mm-hmm. And you look at how that, you know, how they built that organization, and they've had to let guys go that they didn't want to overpay. But, I mean, they're in the mix every year. And then every now and then they get really good. And then every now and then they go out and trade for, you know, a guy like Goldschmidt. I mean,
yeah.
They're a model franchise, and that's what the Astros are trying to be without spending that kind of money.
And cheating. All right, so
they cheat too. They
and by the way, you can't be coughing up a lung and be Barry Jr. here.
Well, yeah, I don't know what the hell's wrong with this area over here. Suddenly, I'm start coughing. What the hell?
Good thing it's Friday, because whatever you get, you'll have 2 days to recover from. Oh, that's right. You got a show to do after us.
Yeah, no kidding.
All right, we'll continue to roll on. It's hour two, 3 hour show. It's the usual suspects. Don't go anywhere. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Barry out after a quality start, but the voice was petering. So we went to the bullpen and found Fred Fowler, and lucky enough to have him join us on an FEF Friday. F for Fred as we take you all the way till 4, and then Fred, AJ, and Aaron will take you home till 7 on ESPN 97.5. Fred, you were saying you were a victim of the New Year's resolutions.
Yeah, before we get to that, though, I want to get to this text that you read on the break.
Okay.
Says, let's not forget when Fred had his hair plugs in and he was bleeding everywhere and he still came to work. True warrior. Not hair plugs. Neograft. Okay. I want to make that really clear.
Neograft.
Dr. Linfield does the neograft procedure, which I would not get hair plugs. We actually had a company that wanted to advertise, and I met with them, and I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. I'm just going to shave it. Forget it. And then I met Dr. Linfield, and he's, you know, it's my own hair. It's just, you take it off the back and you put it in the front. That's simple. But yeah, I had pretty much decided I was just going to, like, I, you know, as far as the new year goes, I'm working out a new running schedule. I kind of want to, you know, I've got a new plan for that. Mm-hmm. And getting back into running all these races like I did a couple years ago, because I only did a few last year. So, yeah, you know, but I'm like, okay, I'm going to take a couple weeks off from the gym, because you know how the first 2 weeks are.
No question.
Everybody has their New Year's resolution. I'm going to go to the gym. And, you know, I go to the, I like to call it the McDonald's of gyms, where they're everywhere,
yep,
including one right around the corner here, which is one I go to a lot. For as big as it is, it has the smallest locker room ever. So when it's really crowded, as it was today, I mean, when you're in there getting your stuff out of your locker, you have to stare straight ahead at the locker, because if you turn left or right, it's peen or ass, and it's going to be right in your face. It's just that crowded. So went in, and I was just motivated today to go get on a workout. I felt really good, and so I went in, got a great workout. And there's two things you, well, one thing you inevitably see every time in January. There's always one poor guy who has not worked out in at least a year, maybe two, and probably put on about 15 or 20 pounds. Trust me, I've been that guy. And he goes in and he tries to do everything he did 2 years
ago.
Right. And there was one of those today, and in what winds up happening is he's sitting at a machine, panting, unable to breathe, unable to move, and somebody has to help him.
It got to that point?
I walked over, and I this guy, he's just kind of sitting there, and you could see his face is all ashen, and I'm like, hey, dude, are you okay? No, you're not okay. And so I had to go get one of the people to come over there, and because he'd way overdone it, clearly. But, I mean, this is about the third year in a row I've seen something like that.
Now, does your gym have defibrillators?
I'm sure they do. I mean, I haven't needed one yet. I mean, I'm old and stupid, but I haven't needed a defibrillator.
Because that was the scary thing to me. We had the 1 year, because like you, we prepare for at our gym the whole resolutions crowd, and we change like the times we're going to play basketball because we don't want those overzealous guys that are going to come in and think they're Michael Jordan after they haven't played in a year. And not only are they going to hurt themselves, they could hurt us. But one time, the weight room at the gym I work out in is right up against the corner of the gym, and we saw everybody rush to a corner of the floor of the weight room, and one of the trainers pulled out the defib and saved a guy's life right there on the floor because the guy came in after having done nothing in a while, had the whole comb over hairdo and the, you know, the wife beater tank top, as they like to call him, and
you
he
sure
was like flexing.
Me?
I don't know. But I know that he was pretty much better, almost dead, and they brought him back with a defib. So I'm like, sometimes these gyms are at least are better prepared than they used to be with defibs all over.
Well, I hope they kind of tell them, hey, you're going to have some people out of shape here the first couple weeks when they come in, and they're probably prepared for it. Although, yeah, I don't get the sense that this place worries too much about really anything. I mean,
other than money?
Yeah, because, you know, it's there's little stuff like, you know, you go to get a paper towel to wipe down whatever machine you were just on, and they're out. And then you go across the other side, they're out over there. You know, the bathrooms are a mess. Never use those things. You will get sicker than Barry if you use the bathrooms there. But that, and then the one really gross thing is I'm coming down the stairs to go get my shower and get out of there and come over here. Mm-hmm. Dude clearly had pooed his pants.
Oh, no.
And he was still in the gym, and he turns around and goes back up. And I'm like, please don't go on a machine, because can you imagine? You go sit on a machine, you think it's sweat, and it's whatever this guy left. I mean,
we called it a frap in college. The fart so hard you crap your pants.
But I mean, if you do that, don't you just go clean up and get the hell out of there? Maybe call it a day. So yeah, that was my experience today. But I had a great workout. I feel fantastic.
That's
I'm ready to do 5.5 hours of radio now.
I guess so. Because the other thing that I noticed on Saturday when we started Saturday. I keep thinking today is Tuesday.
It feels like it. Yeah.
But the other day we played New Year's Eve. We played. And people were already starting to get into the gym early. And it's one thing to be the guy that's kind of taking a year off or taking some time off. But then you come in and you tuck the T-shirt into the shorts. And you look like 10 pounds of potatoes in a 5-pound sack. And then you start huffing and puffing and doing all those things. And you're just like, you just stick out like a sore thumb. Don't you want just like baggy clothes and people leave me alone and I'm just going to get through my stuff. And eventually I'll get back to where I was?
Yeah, although I do want to say I admire people for saying, hey, I'm going to get in shape.
Sure.
Now, as long as they're there 2 weeks from now.
Oh, yeah.
Otherwise, it's kind of like, okay, yeah.
You hear that, Nick?
You just agreed to 6 months of whatever it is a month, and you went for 2 weeks. But no, I admire people that want to get in there, and it's not easy. I mean, trust me, when I go in the gym, I look like an old guy who needs to lose weight, who, you know, I mean, nobody's paying any attention to me. I'm trying to keep it quiet. That's the way I do it. But you know, and most people, I think, are like that. They don't want to be bothered. But,
for sure.
But, I mean, I admire people who are trying to get in shape, believe me. Because I know how hard it is, especially when you have, you know, when you get work and you've got kids and everything else. To make time to even get there is difficult. So I admire the people that are trying. So I'm not going to make fun of them.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying, though, but like you said, you want to kind of blend in and just get your workout in. And you, whether you unassumingly or not, you're drawing attention to yourself when you're wearing the short shorts, the T-shirt tucked in, the high socks, and then you're getting stuck on machine.
Yeah, don't do that now. But ease into it if you're going to do it. And trust me, it's like every time I take a break, I want to go in and go exactly where I was. But you can't do it. You got to build up
nothing
to it.
Nothing bothers me more, and that's where I'm at now because of this whole leg thing. I've been playing basketball again and running, but I haven't got back on the weight. And the thing that I dread is that first time back, because you do. You want to get pick up where you left off, and you know you're not going to be able to lift as much and do as many reps and do those things. And it's frustrating as hell when you can't do it.
Well, in my case, some of it's just old age. It's like I can't do the weight that I use. I can do the reps, and I can do the same exercises. But I've learned that, you know what, don't push it on the weight. Because then you're just going to wind up hurting yourself. But, I mean, I'm not where I want to be running-wise, and so I'm going on a program that will try to get me back there. But you know what? I'm also 55 years old. I might not get back to where I was, but I'm going to get close and just do the best I can. And, you know, I'd encourage anybody. It's just make time and try to get healthy. That's the, you know, that's the goal for all of us, because that's the one thing, you know, the one thing that, you know, we don't really have any control over our health if it goes bad. So, yeah, I'd like to hang around a few more years.
Yeah, we'd like to have you hang around for a few more years.
By the way, just for I mentioned Sports Map earlier. Let me get a little plug in. We've got a J.J. Watt interview up now about how he was able to return faster. We've got Cody Stutes on who has to play well for the Texans. And Charlie Palillo's column is up today. And Jerry Bowe's Bookie Busters.
Well, there you go. So there's plenty of information and stuff that you can actually use on sportsmap.com. A video from me should be coming up here, hopefully, as we head into the weekend. And then
I think it's going to post this afternoon. So, and then Salman Ali has an update on Eric Gordon.
And the Rockets.
Yeah. Well,
there you go.
He does a very good job on that, by the way.
Yep. Bust his tail covering your favorite basketball team. So we've got 2 hours in the books. We got 1 hour still to go with the show. 60 minutes on the clock. Sarah Barshop at 3:30. ESPN's beat writer for your Texans. We'll talk some Texans with her. But Fred and I and Nick, we can break down the rest of the wild card weekend. Lots of football to talk to. And, of course, we can even mention that Rockets game against the Sixers. And your involvement is always needed. Suspects, HRP Listener Line, 713-780-3776. Call or text. Hit us on Twitter. Final hour next. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map.
Want consistent color for every job? Mylow's Pro Rewards members get a 20% paint discount on future purchases after paint annual qualifying spend reaches $3,000. Plus, order eligible in-stock paint and paint supplies by 2 p.m. for free same-day delivery by 8 p.m. Improving is easy at Lowe's. Excludes spray paint and mist tints. More exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Subject to change. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Same-day delivery valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. Details at Lowe's.com/same-day delivery.